Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day. We thank you for this special time right now, today. As long as it's called today, Father, we rejoice. And we thank you for the now. We put tomorrow in your hands. We thank you for this day to go back into your word and learn more about you before we meet you face to face. And we just treasure your promises. We're just so grateful for your goodness, especially with the reminder of Christ's birth this time of year. Father, right now we ask that you bless us and guide us by your Spirit and have your message come forth tonight, whatever you want us to hear and be convicted of. By your grace, we ask all these things based on the merits of Christ alone. And by the power of your Spirit, we pray. Amen. Okay, so to no surprise, the Spirit has ordained a part two to Sunday's special. As you could tell, the Spirit kind of has a hold of us right now and has us in a holding pattern, right? Is that what they call it with the planes staying before they land? He's kind of got us in a holding pattern of relishing, if you will, remembering things like gratitude and joy and why, and even how simple it is. So let's, you know, enjoy this time of year, enjoy these special messages before we get back to Hebrews, because it's a gift. I love it. I'm so happy that he's got us stopping, if you will, pausing, and just pondering his goodness towards us, which, as we all know, we need the reminders daily, because we just lose sight too quickly. So today is part two of Rivers of Living Water. So we certainly, you know, would hate, especially at this time of year, to miss the most obvious reasons to be grateful and joyful. And that's why I'm so happy with what he's doing for us right now in this moment. Let's begin with the beautiful reminder from last week's blog, which was, why should you be happy? We have so much to be thankful for that it's a tragedy when we aren't happy always, aka filled with joy. Simply remembering all that the Lord has done for you, like sending his only begotten Son to die for your sins, is always the best reset button. If we allow the gravity of his work on the cross to hit home in our hearts, I'd argue it's impossible to remain in a funk. The gospel is everything to us as it was to the Apostle Paul. So again, so simple, so pure, and so true. We have no reason to not be happy. And along with the faith of a child comes the joy of a child. You know, one great thing about being a kid, right? You don't have to look at all the details of life. You don't have to get caught up in it. You can be a kid. And knowing that our Father has us in his hands, knowing the things we learn from the Word of God, it gives us that peace, that faith, and even that joy of a child. Or at least it should. So the Apostle John also had a lot to say about this love, this happiness we have because of the love of God. He was the Apostle of Love, as we know. But not because of his own love, because he knew and understood the love of God for us. John knew. You know, you could point to maybe his personal relationship with Jesus, but all the apostles had a personal relationship with Jesus. But he was known for this because he really understood the love of God, and he wrote a lot about it. So as we get going tonight, turn to 1 John 4, verse 9. 1 John 4, 9. Is there a greater reason to be happy than because of the love of God? I mean, that's the main reason, right? 1 John 4, 9 and 10. In this, the love of God was manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And as per our message on living waters, go to 1 John 5:11. Turn the page, I guess. 1 John 5:11. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And ponder this, God did not only just send his Son for us, he sacrificed his only Son for us. And I know we know this, academically speaking, but it's the fact that he went through with what he went through, right? He didn't just send him. He sacrificed him. He crushed him for us in Isaiah 53. So I ask you tonight, what greater proof is there of one's love? So a key principle we're going to start with tonight to think about, the greater the sacrifice, the greater the love. The greater the sacrifice, the greater the love. Just try to grasp the magnitude of what he did and the love behind it, the love that motivated it. Consider all he left behind and also all he willingly went through with. When you choose to live in God's sacrificial love, you not only lose some things, but you also endure extra burdens. And Christ did both to the fullest, of course. But that's what love does. That's what God's love does. It's so incomprehensible, really. But the key principle is that the greater the sacrifice, the greater the love. When you look to the cross, you can never doubt God's love. And that gives us joy. That gives us peace, that he has that kind of love for us. And it was evident, right? It was evidenced. The proof was the cross. So anytime we want, we can learn more about his great love. And we can be washed over by the word whenever we want. To recover, which is a daily problem, right? A daily need to recover our peace and joy in him. Knowing his love for us is the root of that, is the core of that. If we don't know his love for us, if we don't really believe his love for us, if we don't comprehend his love, or in other words, put it the other way, the more and more we comprehend his love, the more and more we learn about his love from the word, the more and more peace and joy we'll have that he wants us to have as his kids. But we're the ones who foolishly suffer when we neglect to turn to the word each day. One more quote from the blog, Why Should You Be Happy? The Bible reminds us over and over again of the gospel truth, right? And our Bible is always available to us, right? So do the math. If this is the case, then your own happiness is always at your fingertips, isn't it? You bet. So should you be happy? Well, according to Holy Scripture, the answer is an emphatic yes. God gave us his word so that we could rejoice in who he is and what he did for us. We're so blessed mainly because of the truth that sets us free. How are you going to be joyful and at peace unless you know the truth? And you're set free by it, because it is the good news after all. And we can be free anytime, any place. Anytime, any place. I know some people going through some extremely difficult things. And they're living in freedom up here because they have surrendered. They're all in with God and they realize he's the source of anything and everything good. And they have joy. It's truly supernatural. What do? We try to live our own lives and we stay on the fence, right? One foot in, one foot out, so that we can get what we think is a better, fuller life. What did Jesus say in John 8:32? He said, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. That's a big contingency. We have to abide in his word. What does that mean? Abide, like stay. like stay in that sphere, right? Stay close to Him in His Word. It's funny how we want freedom without doing it His way. But He wants us to have His joy. It's right there for the taking, and we ignore it, and we get foolish. So I want to give you something the Spirit gave me this morning in prayer. He had me thinking, you know, about myself and others and praying for certain people who were not all in at one time in their lives. I'll use that phrase "all in" just to kind of get the point across. But I was thinking about certain people that were probably believers. Were probably saved, but were not all in. And then when we finally started reading our Bibles on our own in context, we were set free much more in our lives. Set free much more. So here's the key principle that He gave me this morning. We must read our Bibles daily if we want a real relationship with our God. We must read our Bibles daily if we want a real relationship with our God. Emphasis on real. Whatever that means, I don't know. The Holy Spirit can convict each of us on that. But sometimes we, and we probably all have been there, have a superficial relationship with God. You know, we only want to go so far. We like our own lives. We hold on to our own lives instead of denying ourselves. But if we read our Bible daily, then we can have a real relationship. And that's what He wants. That's what He's destined us for. That's the source of true peace and happiness. A real relationship with Him, not a religious one. So in other words, God has given us His own Word so we have the ability to be all in with Him. Without His Word available to us every day, right? There's people in other countries that are believers that don't have a Bible and wish they had a Bible and can't afford a Bible. So, you know, pray for them. And in Christ Saves Ministries, we try to send money over there to different countries so they can buy Bibles for people. But we take for granted this treasure we have at our fingertips to access the peace and joy of God anytime we want. But it's only when we're all in with Him, all in with His Word, abiding in His Word, that we're going to be set free, that we're going to have this joy of a child even. So maybe your relationship with God has been weak lately, and maybe, just maybe, it's because you're not dedicated to His Word. You're not abiding in His Word. Maybe. That's between each of us and the Lord. I don't know, but that's most probably the reason if your relationship with God is weak. And this time of year is a great reminder of the pure goodness He wants us to experience with Him. Back to relationship. And is it any coincidence, as came out on Sunday, that Thanksgiving, the holiday, comes right before Christmas? Is that a coincidence? Because we've learned Thanksgiving precedes joy in our lives, right? If you want to be joyful and have peace, you need to stop being grateful and give thanks and remember all the good things He's done for you. So there you have God's built-in provision, right into our society even, which had godly origins from our nation's founders. Is it any coincidence Thanksgiving comes right before Christmas? That gratitude comes before the season of joy. So every time we see something like this, we stop and thank God for His provisions. He's given us so many provisions. It's nice when we see them and stop and smell the roses. Again, it's usually our fault when we don't see these blessings because we're occupied with ourselves, we're not in the Word, and we miss out. We miss all these provisions that we should be so grateful for. Grace provisions all around us. On Sunday, the Spirit also told us to take these messages personally, as if they were designed and provided just for you. Because they are. And there's a reason every single one of us is sitting here right now or listening right now, even online. There's a reason every one of us are right here, right now, listening to this pulpit. God kind of set it up for you, drew you here, etc. And you should take these messages very personally, as in what you need right now for your soul. May we take them to heart so we have the joy God our Father wants us to possess. And this is something that came up, I don't know, maybe a few months ago with a little more emphasis, but our dear Heavenly Father wants us to be happy. He wants us to be. He really does. Once you're on His side, once you've surrendered to Christ, once you've turned to Him in, with a repentant heart and you believed in Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're His now, and He wants you to know that. And knowing that gives us that happiness. Knowing that gives us joy, right? From His Word, we know it. But He wants us to be happy, and He wants to bless us, as long as it's because of Him and in Him, right? We're not seeking happiness for self-gain, self-gratification, right? We're seeking true happiness. And we know He's the source. He's the wellspring, if you will, to go with today's message, this special from Sunday. So turn to Matthew 7:11. Before we go on, a little friendly reminder of God's good plans for us. Matthew 7:11. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? I mean, come on, right? It's so obvious. It's nice, directly stated for us. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? He's good. He wants to bless us. So there we see God's good intentions for us as His children. We're going to get to what types of blessings coming up a little bit later, but while we're on this topic, turn to John 3:16 again. John 3:16 and 17. Just a friendly reminder of God's good intentions for us. He's not like playing games. He's not like teasing us, you know? He rejoices as the good Father He is in blessing us. Do we go through trials and tests? Absolutely. Did Jesus go to the cross for us? Oh, wow. So there's a time and a place for and a purpose for suffering and testing. But overall, God's intentions are very good for us, and that includes all those things. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Talk about something to rejoice in this Christmas season. When's the last time you simply thanked God that He is good like this? That He came for us out of pure goodness of His own heart? No worthiness of us, that's for sure. So here's another key principle for tonight. Our dear Heavenly Father wants to bless us, most especially with soul prosperity, i.e. love, joy, and peace. And gratitude towards God brings about this type of soul prosperity. Again, our dear Heavenly Father wants to bless us, most especially with soul prosperity, love, joy, peace, etc. And gratitude towards God brings about this type of soul prosperity. We've seen the connection now for weeks. So this comes from remembering to have gratitude for every good little thing in our lives. Arguably, we're not happy only when we drop the ball, when we forget all of His goodness, when we forget to give thanks, and when we forget to daily go to His Word. Why we keep doing it to ourselves? Well, we're weak, I guess, right? We're foolish. We're myopic. We're selfish. If we don't look at the Word of God as our daily medicine for our needy souls, we have the wrong perspective. We're sick. All of us. As long as we're in these bodies, we're still sick. It's like we're carrying around a disease until we die. And we're trying to live for Him. We're trying to do the right thing. We're trying to live in His joy and peace and love. And we're still carrying around a sickness called sin. So we all need His word like medicine, desperately, especially living in the devil's world. So in other words, I know if you're getting a little bit arrogant and saying, I don't really need God's word every day, you're deceiving yourself and you're not taking your medicine that is designed to heal you every day, every day. So if you need to, start looking at the word of God differently. Maybe you need to snap out of it in a way and look at the word of God differently as your daily life-saving medicine from God your Father. God knows we need it. When we're honest, we all know we need it. So, back to this time of year. The Word also even helps us take our eyes off of preoccupation with money and gifts and the world's way of celebrating Christmas. It's the Word that will help you decide to simply do the best with whatever He's giving you and just to be happy with Him. And I'm going to repeat that. I guess this is something He's convicted me of lately. I have my own business, so if I don't produce, I don't make any money. I don't get a paycheck, like a regular paycheck, right? So it's great because it's great constant training and having faith and trusting God for the results. But the other thing is to be content with whatever He gives us, like Paul said, right? I've learned how to be content with little and with much. I've learned. And the Word will help you decide to simply do the best with whatever He's given you and just be happy with Him. The Word will give you that ability, in other words, to be happy with Him with little or with much. Doesn't matter. To overlook it. You know, it doesn't even matter how much I have. It's so funny. Like, when I have little, I still manage. When I get extra, I just do my best with it and it still goes, right? You still spend it, if you will. You still use it, hopefully, on good things. But either way, it almost doesn't matter. And whatever He decides to supply us with, we just do our best with it and just be happy with Him. Stop letting material prosperity control us and control our happiness. So this is God's desire for us, that we see this. And that we see our relationship with Him is the true way to true joy. Our relationship with Him, a real relationship with Him, only available through the Word, a real one. Our real relationship with Him is the way to true joy. True joy. It takes us a lifetime to learn this, doesn't it? A lifetime. Because we keep going back and dipping our toe in the water of the world and thinking it's going to provide something we're missing. When really the perfect bath water, if you will, the perfect spring water from the Lord is available to us and we go looking for other sources. He's like, I want you to have true joy. So it's a lifelong journey. But it comes back to our surrender to the Word as our necessary food. So the Spirit is encouraging us to stop thinking the old worldly way, if you have been, and instead repent right now and simply be joyful. Go back to God and say, I'm sorry, Lord, I've been an ass again. I'm going to dive into your word like it's my necessary food, like you tell me it is, with a different perspective. I need your word. I need you to heal my soul. Again, today, every day. So another key principle, simply find your joy in Him, your Creator and Savior. Stop looking around. Stop relying on the world. Get away from the world. Flee immorality. Do the things the Bible tells you to do. And simply find your joy in Him, in His person, your Creator and Savior. And then you'll access perfect joy, true joy. There's nothing really more simpler than that statement. As the Spirit reminded us, Christmas is about Jesus' birthday, isn't it? My sister Cheryl, some of you know her, but you know, some years she brings over a birthday cake on Christmas Day for Jesus. Happy birthday, Jesus, on it. What a great, you know, like, oh, duh moment, right? Like, that's awesome. Just to do something real, dedicated towards him like that. So why do we let the world spin us up into a tizzy? Why do we still do it? If you're a believer, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you've been a believer for years now, and you know what Christmas is all about. Why do we let the world do it to us? Is it too much media swaying our hearts? Aren't we simply to rejoice in his birth, in his coming to save us from judgment? Joy to the world, right? So simple and pure. As a child of God, adopted, done, finished, right? It is finished. Joy to the world. The simple shepherds had it right, by the way. Turn to Luke 2, verse 8. Luke 2, verse 8. Be like a simple shepherd. Be a humble, grateful servant of the Lord and rejoice. Rejoice. I got to look at the breakdown of that word. Does that mean have joy again? Like re, again, right? Rejoice, have joy again? I don't know. Probably close, but have the simple, humble faith of a shepherd and rejoice. And by the way, be like the wise men and seek him daily. We'll get to them. Luke 2:8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And notice verse 20, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them." Joy, right? Simple, pure joy. They saw the Savior. We've seen the Savior in our hearts. So just think about it with me. A Savior to save us from the impossible. This isn't like a, you know, a temporary Savior or a partial solution, right? We know this. A Savior to save us from the impossible. What's the impossible? That we could somehow be worthy on our own before God. Impossible. For us sinners. And yet he, Jesus, this child, has been given to us and for us. And he went on to grow up and make the ultimate sacrifice so that we could be saved forever and ever. There's obviously no greater gift to keep our eyes on this Christmas. So why do we let the world spin us up into a tizzy still? Why do we let the world do it to us? Why don't we, like, even make a conscious decision? You know the Heisman? You guys know the Heisman Trophy? It's like this. football player. He's pushing the guy away. He's trying to tackle him. Why don't we do this to the world? Like almost purposefully, if you know what I mean. Like bringing a birthday, Jesus birthday cake to Christmas Day. Doing something, what's the word I'm looking for? Purposeful. Purposeful. So you're getting caught, all caught up in the world and you're too occupied with the gifts and stuff. Do something purposeful. I'm not buying anybody gifts this year. That's it. Maybe that's it for you. I don't know. Maybe you say, listen, I'm going to bake everybody a little brownie and that's it. And just say, put Jesus on the brownie. I don't know. Maybe you have to do something purposeful like that, and that was to shock yourself out of the rat race. We have Christ, the greatest gift of all. The victory's been won for us once for all. So let's resist the temptations of the world to be distracted this Christmas and simply have joy in him like the shepherds had. Simply rejoice. Turn to Matthew 2, verse 9. The shepherds weren't the only ones rejoicing at the birth of the Savior of the world. Matthew 2, 9. After listening to the king, they went on their way. These are the wise men. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. That looks like a double or even a triple joy there. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. You want gifts to be part of your Christmas? Look at that. They fell down and worshipped him, and opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Maybe give Jesus a gift this year. And we know the way we give to him is by giving to others, so nothing wrong with being gifts as long as it's from the grateful heart, right? But how can we not have pure joy when we realize the Savior from our sins? What's our problem? We forget, right? We forget. As our dear pastor put it on Sunday, shouldn't we be utterly and forever grateful to God for sending his own son to die for our sins? Like, when should that cease? When should that slow down? When should that, like, fade away? We do it to ourselves because we're not taking in our medicine every day. We're not feeding our soul the necessary food the Bible says is necessary for our soul, or we become spiritually emaciated. But when we feed ourselves, when his word is our sustenance, like Jesus said, then we don't forget. And we're sustained. Go figure. And we're always grateful and joyful. Go figure. Huh. It's almost like God's word works. But we have to submit. Perspective truly is everything. And we have to hold on to it for dear life. Like our life depends on it. Like we're sick with a disease and we need the medicine every day. We have so much to celebrate when we just keep our eyes on the big picture. So turn again to John 7:37. John 7:37. We're going back to our special title from Sunday even, Rivers of Living Water. And let's again see what God's word has to say about this. John 7:37. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Wow, talk about a bold statement, right? Like a statement that's challenging to comprehend. Out of his heart, whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But of course now he is glorified at the right hand of the Father. So we've been given the Spirit. The Spirit is the source of this living water. What is this living water that comes out of our hearts, according to this passage? Go to John 4:10 again. John 4:10. As we know, the woman at the well received a personal lesson from Jesus about this. Can you imagine the scene? Jesus answered her, John 4:10, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to Jesus, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water," talking about the well water, "will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the living water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." As Pastor said on Sunday, theologically, this water may be characterized as divine activity in the life of a believer. But where does that divine activity come from? Ourselves? Of course not, right? What does the Bible say? The Spirit indwells us. We just saw the connection in the last passage in John 7. The Spirit, the living water. The Spirit indwells us like a fountain of blessing from God from within us. That's what he is for us. Of course, he's the source of eternal life. He's the source of joy and peace. He's everything, right? We could go on and on. He is, he is, he is. But he is in us, and that makes all the difference. Turn to Luke 1:76 for an interesting passage. Luke 1:76. Think about this spring of water welling up to eternal life that Jesus gives us, right? Here's another perspective. This was from Zechariah speaking about John the Baptist. Luke 1:76. "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Notice that phrase in verse 78, "whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high." The word for sunrise here is also translated dayspring, as in the day springing up, springing forth. Sounds kind of like a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Sounds like some supernatural source of life given to us. By faith, Jesus helps us see this supernatural help that only comes from the Spirit of God who is in us. And again, God wants to bless us and prosper us, but not like we like to think, with better things, things that will last for eternity, like water that never runs dry from within. Right? Go to Psalm 1:1 again. Psalm 1:1. Again, God wants to bless us and prosper us, but not like the world thinks, and we have to stop thinking like the world. We always think money or possessions or prosperity or like material prosperity. We think that's our measuring stick to our security and our happiness. And it's a big fat lie. You know, I know a lot of you as believers who are faithful to the word, you could be living in a cardboard box down the street and be happy, content. You could, because you know what you know. and you know Him. You might even be more content because you're not worried about possessions or worried about losing things like rich people are. But anyway, God wants to bless us with better things, like true joy and peace, not the counterfeits of the world. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Now let's just take this a verse at a time, shall we? First of all, guess what the word blessed means in verse 1? Anybody have any idea what the word blessed means? We've talked about this in the past. It means happiness. It literally means happiness in the Hebrew. And in fact, the Hebrew points out it's an exclamation. So some Bibles translate this, how happy. How happy is the man, right? And why is this person, why is this man so happy? Simply because he sees and believes that God has rescued him from the way of the wicked. His old ways, right? Our old ways. And shown him true life. True life. And that's why notice in verse 2, he delights in God's word day and night. Do you see the connection between happiness and God's word? It's almost like it's direct. It's almost like it's one-to-one. Notice the connection between happiness and God's word. He delights in God's word day and night. Huh. So that's the source of true happiness? Apparently. Apparently it is. This person who humbly lives like this is like a tree by the water that sprouts fruit constantly. Why? Because God makes him prosper. God blesses you with, you don't even realize blessings or expect blessings in ways that you never thought you'd be blessed. You discover things like true joy instead of the worldly joy you thought you needed. He gives you what? Eternal things instead of temporal things. Things that last forever. We're talking about, again, soulish prosperity by the grace of God. But it comes at a cost. It comes at an effort. It has to come by faith, right? It's all by grace through faith. But true faith does something, right? We've learned this. True faith actually works, like James talks about. True faith goes to the Word of God in humility and submits. It says, what do you want me to do? Show me the truth. I'm horrible on my own. This is where soul prosperity comes from that God so desperately wants us to have. The joy and peace of this season, even. Let it motivate you to draw closer to Him for a real relationship with Him. Again, is there anything more valuable than love, joy, and peace? Is there anything we want more? If we had those things, we'd be, on cloud nine, we might say, without the material possessions. So if you're struggling right now, which we all do at times, ask yourself this in relation to Psalm 1. Are you by the river and not drinking? Or are you taking His grace for granted, even though you know about it? Or are you taking it all in? Are you taking all of Him in? And most importantly, are you receiving His joy? Are you receiving His joy? The emphasis on the word receiving. On this note, we're going to end with one more thought tonight. Go to John 1, verse 9. Are you by the river and not drinking? Are you taking His grace for granted? Or are you taking all of Him in that God wants you to take in to know true life, the well of the spring of water, right? Welling up to eternal life inside of you. Are you receiving his joy? John 1:9. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Notice, all who received him. What does that mean? Do you remember what that means? I'm sure you do. It's the Greek word lambano, which really is an active verb. It's not a passive receiving. It's an active receiving. And it means, again, in the Greek, to seize or grab a hold of. So this is not the sitting on the couch type of receiving. This is the, I see what you're giving me, and I want it. I want you. There's an active receiving, even an aggressive receiving. And God's the source of it all, right? He gives us the faith. But our will is involved, of course. Now, how about receiving joy at Christmas? Do you receive joy? Like, he wants you to receive joy? Or are you passively hoping it rubs off on you and makes you feel better? Or are you going to, like, walk by faith and not by sight? And by that faith, grab hold of the joy he wants you to have. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. Relationships take work, right? They take effort and energy. If you really want it, if you really want a good relationship. When the Spirit opened our eyes to the truth, each of us, he helped us take a hold of Christ with joy even. Do you remember when you were first saved? Remember when you realized he took all your sins away at the cross? No doubt you had a certain joy. So what's different about today? Other than the fact that we forget. He wants us to daily receive, seize, take a hold of his joy in the face of the world's distractions, in spite of the world, in the face of Satan even. Take hold of his joy to the glory of God, and don't let Satan win. So in closing, he is the reason for the season. He is our everything. He is our joy. He is our anchor. We could go on and on. He is. It's this person, the one we have to get to know to have his joy. So again, may we repent if necessary and put him first in our hearts. This Christmas season, may we sit back and ponder and pray about and thank God for all of his blessings. Not looking at what we don't have, but looking at what we do have, especially the spiritual blessings, the living water of Christ, the gift of eternal life, the Holy Spirit living inside of us. That is something we should ask God to open up to us. Like a present, maybe open up our eyes to him more, that he's with us and what that means practically in our lives. To reveal his presence in our lives. But no, we pray for material things. We pray for advancement in this world, in this life, as though it's eternal when it's temporary. Rivers of living water we have. God wants us to enjoy them and let those be our source of life constantly, like a spring that continually wells up forever. So I'm going to repeat, the Spirit wants me to repeat, Pastor's list from Sunday of a few things to be thankful for this Christmas. God saved you, first and foremost. God gave you his word to sanctify you. God gave you our pastor and this church to shepherd you and give you a comfortable place to gather together as family. God gave you this fellowship you're enjoying with others of a like mind. God gave you good enough health to make it here, or if not, he gave you the ability to listen online and get messages and not miss anything. God gave you 5 senses to take in and enjoy his glory. God gave you his love, which really is the source of joy. God gave you an opportunity to spread that love to a lost and dying world. God created a new heart in you and gave you a new life in Christ. And God indwells you at this very moment. God has graciously given us so much. And really the list is endless, including many things we don't even realize right now as we speak, that one day we will see. But most of all, simply thank God for giving his Son as the source of eternal life, the wellspring, if you will, the spring of living water, Jesus Christ. And it's his Spirit that lives inside you, don't forget. Right? It's the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. They're all one. His Spirit lives inside of you if you are a believer. And so maybe thank God for that. And ask God again for that present to be fully opened up in your life, in your heart, in your understanding, so that you can rejoice in the living water and have true joy, totally apart from this world. Again, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift, which means everything to us. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love, your great love, which did something about our sinfulness. And we thank you for your great sacrifice. For there is great sacrifice, there is great love. Thank you for proving your love to us once for all at the cross. And help that be a source of joy as we celebrate the birth of our Savior. Father, we ask that you bless us all as we go and help us bring you glory during this Christmas season. And we ask all these things on Christ's merits by the power of your Spirit. Amen.